Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us here today. Joining me in the studio right here in Carmel, Indiana, Becky Brown.
Hi.
And we are joined by Dr. Jill Hubbard, who's in California. Hi, Jill. How are you?
Hi, guys. Good to be with you, even from afar.
And it is good to be with you, but the echo is like far in my ear.
I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm having to push buttons all by myself here.
It's quite so a task. Confusing. Anyway, let me just mention this to everybody tonight. Well, if you want to join us on the program right now, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. You can join us on Facebook Live. We're doing two programs today. You can join us now, and you can join us in an hour also.
And I want to say hi to all our Facebook Live listeners, because I watch. That's how I usually listen to the show. And I know we have a great group that follows us on a regular basis. And so hello, all you Facebook Livers, and we're so glad that you're there.
Yes, hello, all of you. And here's something that is going to happen today that you can – it's not Facebook Live. Now, you know, I'm on every day, Facebook Live, 5 o'clock.
Right.
And we're going through Lose It for Life, you're doing all the things that are there. But today at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we're doing a free webinar, Chris Williams and myself, Finding Freedom from Depression. Over 400 people are going to be tuned in to this very, very special webinar. We'll have some Q&A, and Chris will present a little bit. And a lot of folks have asked us some questions. We're going to address those, depression in adolescence.
It's been amazing, too, Steve, how fast the response was. We put the invite out on Thursday afternoon, and right away had hundreds of people respond with their questions and wanting to be part of that webinar.
West Coast, 4 p.m.,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
West Coast, 4 p.m. But a couple of reasons that it might be that way. Number one, we have made no progress, and I say we, I'm talking about as a country, we've made no progress in this problem with depression. The statistics still are higher than they've ever been. And then now add to that this COVID virus, isolation, separating us from routine, expectation, some, you've lost everything.
Right.
Okay, so that increases. Now, you talk about your kids. How do you know that they're not just distracted or miserable, as kids can be, or they're really struggling with depression? We want to talk about that. Now, on top of that, look at what is happening in our country. And, of course, yesterday I talked about it at great length, and thank you for the comments that came through. But look, you have every reason to either be with, around, or raising somebody that's depressed or experiencing it yourself. Mm-hmm. And we're going to help you with that tonight. So what you do is to get as a part of this Zoom meeting is that you go to newlife.com and you sign up. And I think you won't be disappointed. We're going to do it for 1 hour. So a commitment of 1 hour, 7 to 8 Eastern time, to deal with what I really believe is kind of the unspoken pandemic for our time.
Yes.
And it just when you think it couldn't get worse. Look, I don't know if it's true, but I did hear locusts are on their way. So we need to get our act together.
Yeah.
because after the locusts come the frogs, and that's disgusting. So anyway, please call us right now. Join us, 1-800-229-3000. Join us 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. You do that by going to newlife.com. You'll see where you click on to sign up for the Zoom link. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us today. By the way, you know, this isn't something that I haven't had to deal with, this depression thing. When I was in college, I was on the antidepressant medication of the day, Elavil.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And with Elavil comes an elevation of weight. I mean, it just, my goodness, it's just tragic.
And then you're depressed because you're overweight.
It is. You're like, well, I can't exercise. And, of course, mm-hmm. all of the research shows that exercise is one of the most important things in dealing with any of this. We'll talk about all of that. I just want you to know we're not going to read out of a textbook.
Right.
And we're not.
And we're going to answer some questions that are submitted.
Yeah.
But it's really going to be a great time for learning. There's so many people that deal with depression or don't.
Yeah.
And there's lots of reason for that.
Yeah. All right. 1-800-229-3000 to join us here. Go to newlife.com. Click and join us at 4 p.m. Pacific time. But right now we're going to go to Gay from Dallas, Texas. KWRD is the station that she listens to. Hi there. How are you?
Doing well. And you?
I'm doing all right. What's going on in your life today?
Well, my fiance recently told me that he termed it innocently flirting with someone at the office, and I was just devastated because I thought we were still trying to rebuild some broken trust between us.
You were trying to rebuild broken trust.
Right. Last year, I found a text in his phone where he had asked about another woman who he thought was beautiful. And so I'm thinking that we're still rebuilding that trust issue. And then I'm told about innocent flirting. It didn't mean anything. It was probably something he wouldn't have done if I were standing there, but it didn't mean anything. He wasn't trying to hit on her. And I just can't, I'm not getting over this.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this. How long have you guys dated, and how long have you been in the category of fiancé?
We have been dating for 2.5 years, and we have become engaged 3 months ago.
Okay. So here's what a healthy – and how old are you, by the way?
60.
Okay. Here's what I think a healthy relationship would look like. You dated. Okay. Had some thoughts, worked through some issues, looked like things were kind of winding down in the other areas of his life, other interests, and he seemed to be focusing a lot of time and energy, and you're having some good experiences and even some crummy ones, but you discover, wow, we can work through this crummy stuff. At our age, things are going to happen. And so then you decide, I think we could be married. And once that commitment is made, everything, listen to me real carefully, everybody, everything that happens in engagement should be exactly what you would expect to happen in marriage. Now, let me tell you why. If there's any thinking of, well, we're not married yet, you got the wrong person. Because one of the most fascinating things is how much we think a wedding ceremony is going to do to change things and how little it does to change anything. Anything. Okay? The people that it changes everything for are the people that were already changed before they said the vows. They go, once we got married, they were already headed that direction. Gay, the bad news that I'm hearing, I want to hear from Becky and Jill, is that isn't the way this thing has been going with you. And a little question mark that you had back when you guys were dating, and then since you got engaged, it's become a big old question mark.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten bigger and bigger. And I just know that must be very troubling for you. And I feel really badly for you. But let's hear from Jill and Becky. And then I've got a couple other comments. What are you guys thinking?
Well, I had a question. I'm wondering, Gay, if he told you about this flirting and what was the tone in which he told you?
Yes, so when he told me, he started with a comment. He said, "I'm guilty." And I said, "You're guilty." I thought he was going to talk about eating extra ice cream or something. And he had a smirk on his face. I said, "You're guilty of what?" And then he told me when he was at the studio today and this single woman that works there was there. He was in a good mood because he was getting a lot of work. And he just started cutting up with her, and it didn't mean anything. And then when I guess he could tell my tone, it seemed like he started trying to back out of it.
Okay.
And I was so upset, and it took, over 24 hours before I finally heard, "Well, I may not would have cut up that way if you would have been standing there."
Okay, so he has awareness of having crossed the line, right? And he's kind of in a coy kind of way trying to make a joke out of it. I like the fact that he at least told you.
Yeah.
I think that's good. I think, further questioning would be, well, what do you make of the fact that you would do that? Right?
Yes, that
given our commitment.
That would have been
and sensitivity.
Yeah, what would have been wrong with you waiting to see your fiance and just flirt with me? And he said, "I don't know."
Okay, here's the thing, though. I agree with Jill. The fact that he told you about it, things like that, that is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been around the block a few times. I know marriages where for 10 years, the husband is doing stuff and confessing it immediately to the wife.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? So it's a good thing, but only if he responds this way, in my mind, Gay. I would be saying to him, "You know what? I was so concerned about that I called a radio program or I talked to some people about it. And here's kind of the bottom line. They think it's amazing and wonderful that you would open up to me about that and say, 'Hey, I'm guilty,' and yeah, you might have minimized it a bit." Well, who wouldn't? It's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's tough. You don't want to end our relationship over it. But here's the question. What are you willing to do other than confess it? Because it'll happen
again.
There
has to be a next step.
Confessing doesn't change the need to be fascinating, or the energized feeling when someone is fascinated with you. So could you go and see a counselor a few times? Would you be willing to do that? Is there more to this than you're telling me now that we're talking about it? I'm not going to back out of this relationship over this, but if all you're willing to do is tell me about it, I think we got a really big problem.
Well, on the other side of that, Gay, is the fact that in relationships, we always have to be able to hear what the other person's willing to share. So like Jill and Steve are saying, that it's great that he talked to you about this. The challenge, though, is if we have big reactions, and rightfully so, you deserve the big reaction. But if we can't come back and talk about that more, we shut down the two-way conversation. It's, I can't tell you anything because it will upset you, and then we can't ever discuss really hard things. And so there's a balance that comes into play there that is really important in relationship. I do think it's great that he told you. How long ago was this? Did I miss that? Like, when did he tell you this, Gay?
2 weeks ago.
Okay. And
that's my concern, because of my reaction was so over the top that I don't know if he would ever say anything, if it ever happened again.
Right. And you don't want that.
And so I thought, maybe I need to do some work.
Well, I think you can own that, too.
Right.
With him. Right? Bring up, that's something to talk about together, and say that you realize that you had a really strong reaction, and the last thing you want to do is discourage him from being honest with you.
So, Gay, can you think of another time when someone was not loyal to you, or they were literally unfaithful or betrayed you, that this might have tapped into?
Yes, and that's what I told him. This is a trigger for me, because my last marriage, there was infidelity, and because of the issue that he and I had last year with him asking about another woman.
Yeah.
That, that's like a double whammy for me.
Right. And also, it's important that he know that you are easily triggered by this, that you're looking for faithfulness above all things, which should be a given. And so if he can't handle the fact that he needs to be just focused on you and not need anything or be energized by anything another woman has to give him, then you guys need to step back and get out of the fiancé phase. He really does need to step up and get some help. And then you also say to him, I realized how sensitive this was. I'm going to go and get a little extra counseling now, because I don't want you to, you know, if somebody walks by and 99 out of 100 men couldn't help, you know, they wouldn't ignore it. I don't want to be the one that gets all upset or something like that, or an overreaction. So I'm going to go get some help. Well, are you going to get some help?
I think the two of them need to get help together.
Yeah.
One of the things about yeah, because here's the thing. Years from now, if something comes up, you don't want to look back and say, you know what, we saw this in our engagement and we didn't do anything about it. And, it doesn't matter if it was 2 weeks ago or whatever, but it has the potential, especially with your previous history. There's some wounds that need to be healed. I do think it would be good for both of you to work together with somebody.
Okay.
I started guessing if I'm even healthy enough to be in an engagement, actually, because he told me he does like to look at women.
Well, that's a whole other subject.
Well, I got to tell you, that's a little detail.
Yeah.
That if you had started with, I am engaged to a man that loves to look at women.
Right.
You know, Gay, when I was single, and by the way, I'm going to send you How We Love by Mylon and Kay. And I'm also going to suggest that whatever happens when we do our marriage intensive, you know, you have to be married to come, because folks staying in the same room and all that, just a logistical deal. But you guys literally could watch it as, you know, we're doing it online. You could do it as an engaged couple.
Right, right.
I think it would be quite insightful.
And we actually have had engaged couples, it was their second marriage, who have done that workshop.
Right.
And it changed everything for them.
Yeah.
So.
But, Gay, when I married my wife, I had a lot of stuff that people would say, yes, he did. A lot of things that weren't exactly right inside, and you just got to accept, Steve. But here was one thing that I can say was right. I had no need to be fascinating to any other woman. I am not looking to be fascinating by anybody, and you know, that is something that when I say that out loud to some men, sometimes I'll see them kind of like that, and they go, oh yeah, I do. I kind of get a little extra kick in my step here in the presence of an attractive woman. And they start to deal with that. Why is that? And sometimes it comes down to, mommy never did give me the attention. Or, mommy gave me so much attention, and nobody else has been able to reproduce what mommy did. All of that, that's what you want to find in a guy, at least that.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn, and I am going to send her also, Is This the One? It's a great little dating book that, you know, all of us need something. And if you're single and you want to find a way to, you know, connect with folks in a healthy way, that it's a great little guide for that. So
yes, and we all need a guide for that.
We all need a guide. All right, let's go to Jeff. Jeff's calling. He's a Club New Life member, and he called us at this number, and you could call it also, 1-800-229-3000. That is the number, 1-800-229-3000. Jeff, how are you today? What's going on?
Hey, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing okay.
Just, I'll make this, you know, as brief as possible. Just a real quick backstory. Was married for 25 years. Wound up getting a divorce a couple weeks before Christmas, December 2018. I've been to every man's battle. In fact, I was at the very last one in Dallas that was one of the live ones. I'm in sustained victory with a great group of guys. Your materials helped me with everything from losing 30 pounds to having sexual integrity. My thing that just keeps eating at me, though, Steve, that I just can't get past is letting go, you know, of our marriage. And moving on, you know, I've waited a year and a half to try to see if something could happen that could restore us. And I found out, you know, just a month ago that, you know, my ex is dating someone and has been since January, and they're going to be moving away.
Let me ask you this real quick. Jeff, what led to the divorce? What led to the divorce?
What led to the divorce? Really good. I mean, we were both Christians. We both attended church. I did have a pornography problem. About 4 years before the divorce, she discovered a bunch of stuff. I stopped immediately. I quit it. I was sober for over 3 years. Once she confronted me with that. And she said she forgave me, and I don't know if she did or not, but little by little, you know, things just, you know, deteriorated more. You know, she comes from a background, her mom has been married 5 times. You know, so I contribute as much as I can to the demise of that all.
Okay. And so it seems like to me, once she found out about your pornography problem, which had existed throughout the marriage there, it pretty much, you know, and all the stuff that pornography does, it isn't just that you were looking at some things you shouldn't look at. The pornified man has a unique impact on a marriage. So then rather than her work through stuff, she pretty much just pulled away from that point. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that her lips were saying that she was okay and she was forgiving, but things started getting worse.
She became
more dissatisfied with,
Well, I wish that she had gone to Restore that would have given some kind of hope there. Sometimes, you know, a woman is so miserable with the pornified man Then she finds out why she's miserable. She's just not willing to see if things are going to be different. So that's all about her. But let's talk about...
Well, and I think, let me just add, I think, so, you know, we want to do the right Christian thing so often, and that is to forgive. And that can be a really sincere moment. But when there isn't the follow-up and the working through of the issues, of course things deteriorate, because there's more time to kind of dwell on the fact that there is this betrayal. You know, in the moment, you're just forgiving kind of the tip of the iceberg. But over time, the more is revealed, and then it's not talked about. So it sounds like you guys, you know, had a good starting point. There needed to be more there.
No, it's true, Jill, what you're saying, that so many people think that saying, I forgive you, and feeling like I forgive you, it's done. But that does not negate the need for her to grieve 20 plus years that weren't what she thought they were supposed to be. So, James, let's deal with you. I mean, Jeff, let's deal with you now. She's moving away. Yeah. She's involved with another guy. Your time with her has passed. And so the question is, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to have to let this go. How do you let this go? You've got to do some big boy work, like you're going to have to do some grief work. And you're going to have to do some of the things that pornography prevented you from having to do. Face yourself. Face the depths of despair. Express your anger. Cry like a baby in front of a clinician if you really want to get over this thing. And the pain is so great because you were a big part of the problem. Now, I got to tell you, it might have broken up anyway without the pornography. But you got to look at your part. And it's with the grief that leads to the acceptance that you can finally forgive yourself. That's what we want for you.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back, and it is life, and it is new. Every program, in one way or another, even if we do a rerun, sometimes on a Friday or something like that, it's new. Okay, so Jeff, I'm going to send you the Grief Workbook and the Life Recovery Bible to go with it. And I'm just going to recommend, I wish you had my clinician. You could have my therapist, because he's a recovering guy, and he's also a therapist, and you could do it online.
He can go to the YouTube channel for us, for New Life Ministries, and watch your just your whole series on the grief recovery.
I did do that. I went through the whole thing on grief.
So it's like having you right there
but
while
he
goes through the book.
You need to do some work there, Jeff, and to get through this, because I want you to be free. You know, when the previous wife left me, I've told people I was so, could not get beyond it. I wanted to kill her. And then as I healed, I just wanted her to die, and then wanted somebody else to kill her. I mean, this is not funny, I know. But anyway, I'm just saying, I know where you've been. And there are other people that are listening to this, and they're thinking, well, some might be thinking, oh, how can he be a Christian and say that? But You can be. Others are thinking, I have been there. I know what that feeling is like. But I don't have that feeling anymore. I've replaced it with pure sarcasm, and it feels better. No, I'm just let me just handle it this way. The wheezing you're hearing—that's Larry Sonnenberg. He's in the studio there. Okay, I'm just saying things get better. You think I am never going to be better, but you will be better. You really will if you'll do the work, and it's not easy. It is difficult.
Instead of blaming the other person, whoever the other person is, you got to turn around and look at yourself and say, what can I do with this? What do I need to do with this? And what can I do today to start in that direction?
Yeah, you don't have to.
No.
But it sure is better. Okay. Larry, if you can pull yourself together, how could we help New Life if we actually wanted to do that?
Okay. Thanks for your sense of humor, Steve. I'm sorry. Sometimes I just can't help but laugh.
Well, you know, I've said it before. My mother said, Steve, if you can't be smart, be funny.
Yeah. There you go.
So I always appreciated
words of wisdom.
That right after she told me that the pain of childbirth was nothing compared to the pain of raising you as a real-life human being. Okay. Larry, your turn.
Okay. I love that our listeners send notes of thanks to us and tell a little bit about themselves. I'd like to share those with you. This lady writes, says, I'm a grateful monthly supporter, and it's on my heart to write, praise God, and say thank you for all you do for so many. I'm a 74-year-old who's listened to you, read your books, and have learned so much from you on my journey in healing. Then God recycles it onto the ministry I serve, and her ministry is called Addiction to Freedom. And it's a ministry for those who may not be able to afford professional Christ-centered counseling. You're a gift from God, a beam of love and hope of Christ-centered truth to those who desperately need inner healing. And then she goes on and says what she thinks she heard from God was this, I am healing you if you follow what I'm showing you. And she closed with, he's a living God who helps and heals. And I just love that, because you talk about people saying the truth will set you free, but it's always preceded with something. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're one of my followers. And that's what she got from God, if you follow what I'm showing you. And so, folks, this lady followed, and she's now taken everything she's learning from New Life and turning it around and helping others. And that's what you're supporting when you support New Life. Lives are transformed in so many ways. Some folks, it's a workshop. Some folks, it's going to a counselor. It's reading a book. But their life changes because they turn and do things differently. And if you'll make a gift, we can double it. We'll take from the account that is set aside this matching fund a dollar for every dollar you give. You give $100, we'll take $100 out. $5, $5 out. Mm-hmm. So it's meaningful. We need your help. And we appreciate it.
Yeah, and you know, I just did a video for some of our supporters, and I was just making the case that I sure hope in your giving that you feel you are part of and responsible in part for the transformation that we get to hear about all the time, just like what Larry was sharing there. If you can help us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you don't want to help us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll help you with your attitude about not wanting to help us there, and then you'll want to help us. So either way, just call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Larry. Alrighty. Let's go back to the phones, and let's talk to Mark. He's calling all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. Mark, you're on. Becky, Jill, Steve. How you doing?
Hi, Steve. You've already answered my question that pure sarcasm is okay.
Our work is done.
Yes. All right. How can we help?
With you, Steve. I read a lot of your stuff, and I'm the guy that sent you a note at Christmas that thanking you for the 2007. This could be the bad Christmas, but it'd be a good one. Thanks. Overcome a lot of things, and I appreciate your help.
Good.
What I'm calling out specifically is that, you know, you confess you have ADD. I've heard some of your funny stories.
Right.
But at a time of spiritual warfare, you know, it's very hard to prioritize. You know, everything, as you know, Steve, comes at you equally. And you tend to kind of overdo some things or underdo others, but it's just overwhelming. And so I'm just wondering how you handle that. You know, there's just life's always busy. And on the funny side here, I met this great girl about a month ago, and she lived about an hour and a half away, just an angel. And I lost my car keys in the kitchen cabinets, which I've never done before. Mm-hmm. And so I had to make up a lie. And I didn't like doing that, but I was late and everything, and that just really embarrassed me. But it also let me know that there's something, you know, wrong there. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was you know, going through some spiritual warfare, and it's just overwhelming. It's almost like you get, you know, PTSD or something. And you know, when I'm calm, I do great, and when I kind of get in a panic mode, I was wondering how you deal with that.
Okay, all right. So first question is, did you tell her that you made up a story about the lost keys?
I don't think I had to, because she said she was willing to give me some administrative help. But it will be forthcoming. So.
Okay, so that's the one thing, is that the way you counter lying about who you are and the reality of who you are is that you say, okay, I just distorted the truth a little bit there. You know, right the second
Absolutely.
That you do it, the sooner the better. Because
Mark, looking
back on it, you don't have anything to be ashamed of losing your keys. Everybody in the world, I think, has lost their keys. So, you know, you really need to give yourself a break on that.
Well, but that's what I was thinking, though, Mark, when you're telling the story. I'm wondering, you must really like this person a lot, so that honest about the struggle. And I also hear a lot of diagnosing going on, you know, for yourself. And I think also when we do that, we kind of move away from the things that we can actually work on. So to Steve's advice, you know, being totally honest is that reality of this is who I am. Because you certainly don't want to set yourself up to be somebody other than who you are, only for her then to just, you know, like one of the previous callers going, oh, I didn't know that that's who you were.
The other thing is, thank you so much. You need an assistant. You know, I was feeling a little bit overwhelmed today. I had an assistant say, I don't think it's quite as bad as you think it is. Okay. Well, you're not gonna have a personal assistant for your dating life, but you need a guy. Mm-hmm. You need a man that's a little bit older than you that you respect, so that you could say to him when it happened, you know what? I was so embarrassed I lost my keys. I lied to this woman. And we know that when you fall in love, you're certifiably mentally ill. So, you know, Dr. Amen said he's got that book, The End of Mental Illness.
Yes.
It'd be like the end of romance. That's horrible. No, but anyway, the point is...
Well, you always say you want to put that best foot forward, then the ugly foot comes out.
Hey, listen. Look, the worst thing you want to do is...
Well, go ahead and get the curtain back. You know?
Yeah. Well, right, exactly. Because you don't want to invest all this time, and then she sees the real you, and it's not the same. So I would just say this. You need to find a guy.
She's already seen the real me. So
but why don't you get a guy?
Even if I did cover up the first error.
Why don't you get a guy to walk you through this? Because you know what? What you've said about her, the impact she has on you, this could be a relationship that lasts a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so I say to folks who are paying a percentage of their estate value to somebody to manage the estate, why wouldn't you pay somebody $90 a week or every other week to sit down and say, here's where I am, here's what's troubling me. I think the way I've gotten through this is I've always had some counseling. When we come back, I have a question for you about spiritual warfare. I need to know what you mean by that, and we'll help you with that. 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterman here. We're talking with Mark. Jill Hubbard had a
I had a couple thoughts, Mark, since I have an entire ADD family. And so I just want to say, first of all, ADD people are really, really fun and very creative. So, but one of the hard things to realize about ADD for an individual is that it really is a brain issue. But we're not taught that. And from a young age, there's this feeling of not being able to keep up, not being able to be on top of things like other people. And there's a lot of shame that goes along with that. That's where your lie came from, right? The shame that, gosh, other people, it's so simple. Why can't I do it? Right? And then as you get panicky, the anxiety increases, which then shuts down your thinking, right? Which makes it even more difficult.
Yes.
So it's really great, though, that she is administrative, because ADD brains and OCD brains go really, really well together. They make great partners.
Yeah,
get all the alphabet together.
Mark, when you talk about spiritual warfare, what are you talking about there?
Just the same thing, kind of like with ADD, when, you know, the we don't have, I don't necessarily have always had good habits to fight spiritual warfare. So when it happens, like in that case there, it went past shame to, you know, you shouldn't even go, you're worthless, you know, give up, you know. And, you know, just, you know, she's too spiritual for you anyway. She's, you know, that this is God telling you that you're a loser. And then, but also, you know, right now we're going through the, you know, this.
Okay. Let me give you another. Let me give you another word for what that actually might be there, my friend. Shame. Shame.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So, in your life in the past, can you think of somebody that really made you feel kind of crummy about yourself?
Well, it's a perfect question, because my mom just died, who was lowered straight into hell, and she she flipped a bird out of the casket. So, and I thought that my sister, you know, I just wanted to make sure she got saved, and she is just as sick, and so I enmeshed with her, and she tried to get me to admit everything about me was wrong from the day I was born forward, and I thought it. But the she is. There's no hope there,
okay.
And so she refreshed all that. Yeah.
From one perspective, it is spiritual warfare, and that Satan uses that to take a pretty good guy. You know, that is very engaging. A lot of people that call us, you know, we don't even know who they are because they don't ever, you know. But you're very engaging. You're a very likable guy. Mm-hmm. And yet you've got all of this stuff that really you need to get rid of that. Mm-hmm. And
correct.
When is the last time you had a pretty long relationship with a counselor that could help you with that?
You know, I'm struggling with that because they're the good ones are hard to find. And you mentioned getting someone older as a mentor. I'm 61. There can't be too many people that are still alive.
Oh, there are. But here, look, you're in Atlanta.
We got a couple really good ones.
Becky knows our she knows our network really well, and she knows of a couple that are really good. So when you hold on, we're going to do that for you. Mm-hmm. And then
that would be awesome.
Yeah, because I want to see you. I mean, you probably only got another 35 or 40 years to live. So we got to get you in good shape here for those final great years.
That's right.
Now, I want you to hold on, because I'm going to send you Every Man's Bible. And this, it is going to open your eyes to Scripture in a way that a lot of Bibles don't. And I want to just tell every woman out there, if you want a great gift for Father's Day, this is the gift, Every Man's Bible. We have large print, medium print, fine print. Mm-hmm. And it is the best-selling, most popular men's Bible out there. And there are a lot of them. And I'm so, so grateful that I was able to be part. I was the general editor of this Bible. And it's been out there for years. And it's still selling more every year than the year before. Every Man's Bible. We have them in every variety. Leather, hardback, paperback. Call us right now and get an Every Man's Bible for the man you love. You will not regret it when you wake up in the morning and he's out there reading his Bible. Now, I've got some calls lined up. We're going to do another program after this, and I just don't feel like I can go to another call. So please hang on, or if you want to join us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call if you if you want to join us on the program. It's 1-800-229-3000. If you want to help us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you need help with a counselor in your area, same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, Steve, it always reminds me of the thoughts that we think become the actions that we do. Many times we fulfill a narrative that may not even be our own. It was given to us. And I think about the passage in Philippians 4 that talks about whatever is good, right, noble, think on these things. But sometimes we're so overwhelmed by all the negative that we can't even get to the positive.
It's true.
I love the story that you just told at the break about just recognizing that you weren't coveting because you were actually thinking, I wonder if I'm coveting. Yeah. I think that could help somebody.
Yeah. Well, I was out jogging, and we were talking about me having ADD. I was out jogging, and I was just looking at the houses in the neighborhood, and I was thinking, I was talking to my therapist about this, that I was thinking about, well, am I coveting my neighbor's house? I'm thinking, what a great house that is and stuff. And he said, and I said, I want to be the spiritual guy, thinking spiritual things, not, wow, what a cool house that is. And that, you know, my therapist said, well, wait a second, that's a pretty spiritual thing to do, to catch yourself, to ask yourself, am I coveting my neighbor's house? And the point is, we can get into some distorted thinking,
yes,
where we're really down on ourselves, trying to meet some kind of preconceived notion of spirituality or what it means to be a man or a woman, something like that. And we can miss the fact that maybe the influence that we have, the distorted thinking, is preventing us from experiencing who we really are. If I'm walking around thinking I'm kind of crummy for thinking, and yet somebody can point out to me, hey, that's kind of cool that you caught yourself there. Well, if I didn't have a counselor, I'd be walking around today thinking, man, I sure wish I could jog without looking at somebody's house versus thinking, hey, you know, okay, I caught myself. Here's the point. We need people that can speak truth into our lives, because when we're doing the right thing, we need a little affirmation. Yeah, that was good. Way to go. That's an improvement over the way you were 2 years ago. And also, we need to hear, hey, you're slipping back into some stinking thinking or some kind of distorted stuff.
Well, and that's why we do life recovery groups. We have them all over the country so that people can continue to do the work, so that you begin to get connected with people who are doing their own work. And it's not like you know, going to the principal's office to make, you know, you're in trouble now, right. You didn't do it right. It's literally a collaborative effort that we all want to be the very best that we can possibly be and experience a full and free life.
Yeah.
It takes work, and we can do it.
So, at a minimum, how about a book to help you change your thinking? I think at a minimum, everybody ought to get a little counseling every now and then, or like me, when you're in the severe case of extreme whatever it is, you may need a lifetime of counseling. And it's just all good, not all bad. So I want to encourage you to call us, get a resource, a book. Hey, join us tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern. Log on to newlife.com. It's on depression.
It's a free webinar.
There's a lot of stuff that we're going to be talking about, and I think you're going to be really happy. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the next program. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let us help you. Please call.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.